Welcome back to Touchdown Talk. Today we have a very special guest in Zach from The Makeshift Project, which is a popular social media show with 1.6 million subscribers on YouTube.
So our first question for you is, how did you meet Brian, your podcast partner?
So I've known Brian forever. I've known him since first grade, which I think dates us back probably like close to 20 years of friendship. He was in my first grade class. We just hit it off. I used to go to his house all the time. Our families became like family with each other, and they still are today. So my parents live down in Tampa. They're still on home, Brian's family, and they're my family up here in New Jersey. So it's just been a lifelong friendship. It's grown since then, playing basketball and doing all other types of creative stuff. And now we're here. I'm doing a podcast together, which is a dream come true.
Yeah. So what gave you guys the idea to start the podcast?
Yeah, so Brian and I always wanted to do kind of different things. I tried starting a golf page. He had a t-shirt brand. We always had the idea to do something. Brian saw some likewise accounts and said, you know what, we could do that maybe better. I do this professionally because he's a video editor at the New York Giants and then Overtime Sports. So I said, yeah, let's do it. I initially said no. And then 4 hours later, I texted him and said, okay, fine. And then we posted our first video and it blew up. And we're like, okay, I guess we got to keep doing this. So it was really Brian's idea, just some inspiration from other TikTok accounts and saying, hey, we could do that equally as good, if not better, when we could give our friendship on screen. And I think people would enjoy that. So it's been a journey, but we're here.
Yeah, is there anyone like in specific that you got this inspiration from, or just like in general?
Yeah, I think Brian followed Lumberland, which is an account that's not like active anymore, but it was like 20 dudes in a warehouse and they'll just take their iPhone, go around and ask these questions and play these games. So that one in particular was the first one that we saw and we're like, hey, like, why don't we just do this in like a podcast type setup with us two? And then other accounts now that, you know, everybody kind of feeds off each other. It's Breadbasket. Freddie Show is one of them, Broadcast Boys. All those people, you know, we talk and we try and be creative together. And if there's any opportunity for collaboration, we do. But we all inspire each other. And anything you see on TikTok or Instagram can always be translated into something special. So
what's the best experience you've had while making your podcast?
Oof, that's a tough one. I would say experience. So I'm going to do in the studio and outside the studio.
Yeah.
So outside of the studio, we got the chance to work with Netflix, and it was a lot of fun. We got to go to a red carpet premiere with Kevin Hart at it. So we got to interview Kevin Hart and met him. He's very short. I'm pretty tall. So that was a fun experience. But that was definitely kind of like the pinnacle moment for me so far in terms of being able to, you know, be with an A-list celebrity and create content with them. Was incredible. I think inside the studio or on the podcast, we recently had our 100th podcast. We did it at Wicked Wolf in Hoboken. That was incredible. We were handing out merchandise. We were handing out a bunch of stuff at the event. Being able to, you know, celebrate afterwards all the accomplishments with all my friends who attended, that was a ton of fun and something that I'll remember forever.
Yeah, so, like, on your podcast, we saw you've had many, like, interviews with people like Big Justice, Big AJ, The Rizzler, Joe Gatto. How did this happen? Like, did you reach out to them? Did they want to be on your podcast? Like, how did that all work?
Now, my top moment for my podcast is doing it with The Rizzler. Now, I think I reached out to them, or they might have reached out to us at one point on, like, TikTok, and I think I messaged them on Instagram. I can't remember, but it was kind of early on, and then in their kind of success, like, they just started catching fire a little bit. I was like, I think these guys are from Jersey or someone close. So we reached out, and they were coming up here, and I said, all right, great, let's do something. And we just exchanged numbers, and we said, you know what, like, let's make this work out. We get some content for us, you get content for your channel, and then we'll start posting. And those guys collaborate with everyone that they're fans of. So Big Justice was a fan of our content prior, and AJ loves our stuff. He still comments boom on every video that we post. But it was great to connect with him. And then we got the Rizzler like shortly after that, probably like a month. I'm not entirely sure, but he came in and we're like, yeah, let's get content together. And then AJ said, oh, we'll join too. And then there's like a bunch of clips of us in the studio. And I was only there. Brian wasn't there. And like, yeah. I've seen like sports accounts post like Big AJ going boom, boom. We're like, and I'm in the background. Now I'm here, but I'm an honorary memory. Sorry, honorary member of the Costcoverse. But no, those are great dudes, and you know, it feels like family when they're around. So it's good to still keep in contact with them and collaborate when we can.
And what about Joe?
Joe was that's an interesting connection because we've been trying to get him to do something for the channel for like a year and a half. He has a nephew that went to my high school, and Brian played football with. So you got to leverage the connections where you can. So yeah. We would always float the idea out there. And then finally, after about a year of, you know, floating that idea every few months, he said, now's the time. I could do it. I have availability. And I'd love to do it with you guys. So we got him on. We took him into the John Boy Studios in New York City. They hosted us. And that was an incredible experience as well. The top performing podcast to date, for sure.
So what do you think has made you so successful as a podcaster and social media influencer?
Yeah, I think it's the consistency. I'm doing it with my best friend since first grade. Like, we hold each other accountable. So, what, is he your best friend since first grade?
Yes. Yeah, we've been friends for a while.
Yeah.
You guys will have a podcast together eventually. Yeah. It's the consistency. Like when we tried stuff in the past and we did it for, you know, a week or two and we're like, oh, it's not panning out. Or maybe you post, you know, three times over the course of a month. It's not going to hold up. And everything has a little bit component of luck to it. But with consistency, and if you increase the quality as you go, it's really helpful. So being like able to take feedback from Brian as a video editor who did it professionally before and being able to apply those skills and, you know, coach myself up. I think we just got better as we went. You got to stay with the trends, you got to innovate, and just be consistent. Post every day, and now we post, I think, like 6 times a day on most days, which is just outrageous, but somehow we keep up with it.
How has your life changed since, like, you guys started your podcast?
Well, that's another great question. It's interesting, and I'll get a little personal. My girlfriend, when I first started dating her, we weren't, like, that big. And there wasn't much recognition. And as I started dating her a little bit, I told her, I was like, yeah, no, I have this like TikTok page. And as it grew, we kind of went, and then I like got recognized out in public with her once. And she's like, wait, what? And I've been able to scale it and grow it to a point where, you know, we go to a baseball game. Like, I was at the Mets game last night. A lot of people are coming up to us and recognizing the channel. So it's a little funny going out in public and being recognized, but it's also very validating to say, you know, we are reaching people. People are our fans. Everybody's friendly and we get to interact like that. So it's been super busy and, you know, getting recognized in public's been fun. And you share those experiences with the people that watch your content, as well as, you know, I get to share it with Brian and be like, hey, look what we're doing. Look at what we've done. It's really special and I still don't get over it when it happens.
Yeah, so, like, along with that question, what does a typical day look like when you're not doing the podcast now that you, like, are more famous? So, you know, how does that work?
Yeah, it's definitely hectic. So, like, Brian's a calendar guy, Brian's not a calendar guy, and I'm more of, like, a calendar guy. I'm, like, I like to have my things laid out a little bit. But it's more of running around. When we go to events, you know, we have to be at them, and those are typically at night. And then when we, you know, during the daytime, just kind of working through emails, you know, business type things, to be able to maintain it as a business and not just a TikTok page. And then you're just always in the creative mode. So like every single time that you're thinking of an idea or someone says something and it sparks an idea, I got to write it down. Like that's my main, you know, center point of attention. So day in the life, I mean, I wake up, I probably edit a little bit, you know, get on some calls throughout the day to be able to make sure that we're operating from a business side of things, and then potentially events at night, and then keep my girlfriend happy on top of that, and keep my friends happy as well to hang out with us.
Following up on like the thing you said about editing, do you guys like have editors, or do you and Brian do all the editing?
Ryan and I do everything ourselves, which is the most outrageous thing that I've found talking to other creators, but our style and our editing has gotten us to where we are today. So to hire someone else and it probably be not at the same quality or take time to get up that quality, we haven't gotten there yet. But we do everything ourselves. Brian edits 6 short form videos a day. I'll poke my head in there sometimes. and do a few videos, and then I do the long form podcast. So it's crazy. It's a lot. I don't think there's any two creators that do their own editing that put out as much as we do at the quality that we do. So I think it's something that's really special, and it's part of the reason why we're successful.
Yeah, that must take up a lot of time. It must be, like, rough. But also fun.
Yeah, because we're posting every day. It's like weekends, too. You know, I'm trying to gear up for the weekend right now. My girlfriend has off work tomorrow, so I'm like, all right, we gotta get stuff done today.
So who is, like, a dream guest or dream guest that you would, like, love to have on the podcast one day?
Yeah, I mean, Brian, what his number one answer would be Adam Sandler.
Oh, that'd be crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. We actually got approved to do an interview thing, similar to the way we did with Kevin Hart with Adam Sandler, but they didn't have room for us on the red carpet, so that was tough, but one day, hopefully, it'll happen. But, like, Will Ferrell, Adam Sandler, Mr. Beast, I like the comedic route. Oh, Bill Burr is a good one. That's, like, more of a deep pull. Just because I like and appreciate good conversation. I feel like comedians are very good at driving that and making you laugh. I think it would be entertaining for us. It would be a dream come true to... because we've looked up to those actors for so long. And I also think it would just be fun. So
we also know that you guys usually on your podcast do, like, a lot of blind rankings and things like that. So what, like, podcast segment is your favorite to do and why?
Yeah, the blind rankings and, like, the top 10 lists are definitely our most popular. I guess I'll like tweak it maybe a little bit and say, like, my favorite thing is to do, like, those rankings, but, like, make it a little twisted to, like, mess with Brian. So like we did, like, a $15 to spend to like build your perfect family. And I put all of Brian's family members at the, like, $5 spot. So he had to choose basically between his mom, dad, brother, and sister. Like, that's my favorite. And I would say that for, like, all of our series. Like, if there's a way that we can mess with each other, then, you know, we do so. So the $15 to spend is definitely my most fun to create, because you could get, like, a little bit creative with that. And then just to do, I would say the blind rankings are always fun, because you could always throw in hot takes and opinions that, you know, the viewers would either agree with or not. And we're always coming up with stuff, so...
Yeah, also, like, I was wondering, since you work with your partner almost basically every day, you know, always filming, always editing, like, what happens when you are in a disagreement or an argument and you still have to, like, work together? Is that ever hard? Does that ever really happen?
Yeah, it hasn't really happened. I mean, a lot of times we're able to kind of talk things out because we've been friends for so long. And, like, Brian and I, like, will he get mad at me for something? Will I get mad at him? Like, not really. It's more so of, like, okay, we have a different perspective here. Like, let's talk it out. And, you know, here's the counterpoint to what you're saying. And, you know, let's really think about this through. It is a little weird having a business with your best friend, just because, you know, you could butt heads. But, you know, trying to figure out, you know, how to best approach situations and, you know, going with the decision based off, you know, actual facts and inputs is really important. So, you know, we differ on some opinions, but making sure that we talk things through and we're not afraid to say certain things to each other is definitely helpful.
Assuming that, like, your podcast, like, keeps growing at the rate it is, do you see this as something that you guys are going to, like, keep doing in, like, the long term? Like, something that you really, like, want to continue for, like, the foreseeable future?
Oh, yeah. So we quit our jobs April 1st this year, and I don't want to go back to the corporate world. I don't want to go back to, you know, working for someone else. I want to be doing this, you know, for a long time and, you know, set myself up for a career in entertainment and, you know, set Brian up as well. So it's something that I don't plan to stop. I'm sure it'll change along the way. We might get more, you know, status updates or things that we're doing, or we might cover more so current events. We might post two podcasts a week instead of one. We really want to build kind of like a network of channels of the things that we're passionate about. This way we can have the main brand and then some brands underneath that. So we're not stopping. We've said that since the start. It doesn't matter if views go up or down. You know, we just keep our heads down and we keep running.
Yeah, I was wondering, where'd you come up with the name for your podcast?
Yeah, the name. So there's a group chat between me, Brian, and my friend Matt. And my friend Matt was like, committed to it, and then he was like, oh, you know what, I'm out. And I was like, okay, he never commits to anything. But The name just kind of came up. I came up with Makeshift, I think. I was just like, well, we're kind of like taking everything and just throwing it together in the basement where like we film in Brian's parents' basement. Like, we don't have a professional studio or anything. It's just what we have. So that kind of, it makes sense with the Makeshift name, that we kind of took what we had and just started doing it. And then I think we were like Makeshift Experience. We're like, that doesn't sound as catchy. I was like, what about the Makeshift Project? We're like, that could work. And then my brother designed a logo for us. I was like, no, this is it. So I love Makeshift. I think just like people like who see us in person and call us out, they're like, Makeshift, what's good? Makeshift. We have the Makeshift Podcast, which is the actual podcast, and then the channel and the business is the project. So that's kind of the roots. And, you know, my buddy Matt is probably kicking himself that he didn't join us.
Yeah. How much do you feel like deciding to utilize short-term content, like YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels, and like TikTok videos, has like helped grow your brand?
It's like everything. I mean, we started on TikTok. We didn't start posting shorts until I think like a year later is what I saw the other day. But that's because they were going to start monetizing them, and we're like, yeah, let's do this. And Brian watched a podcast that Mr. Beast was on, and he said, invest in YouTube. You won't regret it. This is where you're going to make your bread and butter. And it's our main source of revenue, honestly. And it's been the most consistent, and like viewership's been great. So I just think the short form content, like if anybody wants to start a channel or do anything, like start with that. Because once you do that, you could develop the skill sets to edit and, you know, build yourself to a point where you want to do long form, or you get better enough that you can do the long form. Because it's a big time commitment that people don't realize. People think the videos just come together once you film them. It's like, no, there's a whole process behind it. So I credit that short form to everything. I think without TikTok, without YouTube Shorts and Instagram Reels, we wouldn't be anything unless we built like a long form channel that's probably a lot longer of a route. The last thing I'll say there, and a long answer, but like short form content is like a lottery ticket. If you play more lottery tickets, the more chance you have to pop off. Versus like, you know, growing a channel long form, you have to be posting consistently and it's more of a process. So play more lottery tickets, post the content, and, you know, see where you go from there.
When you were like a kid, did you like imagine working with Brian when you were adults and being like so successful at it also?
Yeah, we had a snow shoveling business back in like sixth grade. I think we shoveled one driveway. I didn't know specifically that would happen, but I didn't rule it out. I think we always kind of wanted to do something, like I mentioned, and like you could ask my friends from college. Like, I was always noodling around and being like, what if we just like filmed our friend group? What if we posted? Why can't we be like the Nelk Boys? Why can't we do content like this? And Brian always felt the same way. And I think COVID kind of helped us spark and say, you know what, fine, let's start a channel. We're pretty bored, there's nothing to do. So I kind of envisioned myself working with Brian in some sort of way, or at least supporting each other in what we did individually. But joining forces and that accountability factor is kind of why we've been able to be successful. So being able to do that and say, you know what, let's do this together. Let's join the powers, because, you know, we're both creative and have different perspectives on things. That's been a great synergy that we've had to help grow.
Thanks for joining. We appreciate it.